The Stats Zone, FPL Weekly.
Hello and welcome to thestatszone.com's FPL Weekly. I'm Adam and with me today is Rob.
Hi guys.
Tristan.
Hello.
And Tim.
Hi.
On today's show we have some questions from Twitter from some of you. We'll be going on to our captain choices for the game week coming and we'll revisit the differentials league at the close of the show. First of all, we have a couple of questions on chip strategy. Matt Holmes asks, is it worth rolling a transfer this week to help navigate the blank game week 31? What is the transfer and chip strategy coming into the business end of the season? And secondly, David Evans asks, when is the best time to use the bench boost? Perhaps the last game week of the season when there are typically plenty of goals. Tristan?
I've got this. All right, so the first one regarding the blank game week 31. So I think if your squad allows it, i.e. you don't have too many red flags in your team, suspensions, injuries, whatnot, then it's definitely worth rolling your transfer to give you two going into game week 31. Just because you'll have all the information available to you to make that decision. You know, there's a few teams playing in game week 31 who haven't exactly been pulling up trees, but people have been bringing those assets in regardless. To use a personal example, I'm looking at bringing in either Madison or Felipe Anderson, neither of which have been really bringing in the points lately. Madison perhaps slightly more impressive, but Felipe Anderson looks a little more peripheral to West Ham's attack. So I just want to see how they perform in game week 30 and then assess it and make a more informed decision going into that. In terms of chip strategy, obviously a very popular topic at the moment in the FPL community, but there's no real one-size-fits-all. I think it largely depends on the state of your squad. But I do think you should have already made the decision on how you're going to approach it by now. Because if you haven't, it's a bit late to maybe pick one or the other, and you should have really been planning for that perhaps a bit earlier. And now the most common approach seems to be people are building their teams towards blank game week 31 and 33 with a view to use a free hit in 32 to maximise the double game week. Then you would use your wild card in 34 and your bench boost in 35. Now, obviously, this is a strategy for those who still have all their chips available. Now, not the case for everyone, but a lot of the sort of season pros, I suppose, would typically hold their chips for this, as Matt calls it, the business end of the season. So that's one approach. That's an approach I'm taking, but it's not the only approach. And as I said, it depends on the way your team looks. You know, if you're really struggling for players in game week 31 by this point, then you may look at using a free hit chip there to try and field 11 players. Although personally, looking at the fixtures, it doesn't look that like it's going to be an appealing game week. You know, you've got Liverpool at Fulham, but most people have two or three Liverpool assets already. There's a lot of other teams that aren't in great form, and I think fielding 8 or 9 players will probably be sufficient around then. With my personal strategy, I think I'll have 10 playing, assuming they all take to the field, and I'm okay with that. I'm not going to take a points hit to get an 11th player in just to get, you know, 2 appearance points, for example. So those tend to be the two predominant strategies for those with all the chips. In terms of the last question from David, bench boost and last game week. Now, that's an interesting one. It goes against the grain. Typically, people would aim at for using the bench boost in a double game week so that even your bench players play twice. You know, it gives them double the chance of getting points. But it makes a good point about being plenty of goals towards the end of the season, and it can be a nice little chip to have, you know, for the final game week to give you a little boost in your mini league if you're chasing. My concern with that is that you tend to see a lot of rotation around that time of the season, particularly with teams that have got nothing to play for at that point. You know, some of them be blooding youth players, especially maybe relegated teams, just with a view to next season. It's going to be very difficult to predict the lineups at that point, but I like it for boldness. And, you know, as we've said in the last few pods, I think you can get bogged down with all these doubles and blanks and focus too much on them. So it's nice to get a sort of different perspective there. So I wouldn't begrudge him trying that.
I just had a look at Man City last. I mean, obviously they won the league by 19 points. So I was saying, okay, what was their lineup like in the last few games? And they did rotate quite a bit. I mean, Aguero was injured, but anybody who had a knock of some description wouldn't play. Walker was rested, Edison was rested. Now, okay, if the title race is going all the way down to the wire, it makes it interesting because you should have some Liverpool and Man City players in.
Yeah,
that's the risk.
Was that the game they were going for the 100 points as well?
Yeah.
Jesus, last minute. So I think that's probably a stronger team than they would have had if that wasn't on the cards as well.
Probably so, yeah.
Going into a World Cup year as well, that's slightly different to this year in terms of them. Yeah, it's tough at that point. You'd like every team to be playing for something. You're already seeing teams resting, like Wolves started resting their players because they're prioritising the FA Cup. So it's a tough time to kind of predict who's going to play. And also with the European competition, you know, coming thick and fast, FA Cup quarterfinals. It's not an easy time to guess what managers are doing.
Now, I think if you're going to save a chip for game week 38, I'd probably go with the triple captain one. You can then put it on a player that you think is guaranteed to start and not worry about these people getting rotated out, maybe only getting 8-9 players in or not many people playing with your bench boost. So that'd be the way I'd go around with it.
Well, on that note, Raimon asks when the best option would be to use a triple captain. He says, for example, Salah versus Fulham in game week 31 as opposed to a double game week option, for example, Pogba in game week 32.
I think it's a definite way around that I'd look at maybe using it in a single game week as opposed to the double. With the way the chips seem to be folding out for myself personally, I'm not going to be able to play a triple captain in a double game week. I'll probably use my bench boost on game week 35, whereas on game week 32 I'll be using my free hit to get a full squad in. So I will have to use it in a single game week, and so I think it's a great option. I mean, last year Salah on game week 31 scored 29 points at home to Watford, which I believe was the top overall score for a game week regardless of whether it was single or double last season. So it's definitely one that can pay dividends. You know, you can get bogged down very much on who's got the best fixtures in a double game week and will they play, won't they play, but you do can fall into the trap of rotation and your triple captain only playing once as it is.
Yeah, I think so. Ryan mentions Fulham game week 31 for Salah as an option. I think some will consider that. My personal preference, if you're going with Salah, would be, I mean, you're looking quite far ahead here and you don't know what's going to happen, but I've for a while been looking at Liverpool at home to Huddersfield game week 36. Now, I would hope, as a Liverpool fan by that point, that we're still going for the title. And I would also hope that Salah would have come out of his current sort of funk of missing chances.
And the Champions League?
Champions League, well, let's see what happens against Bayern, I suppose. But, you know, we Liverpool fans, we want the league more than the Champions League, I think. So that's going to be a huge priority.
I'd quite like both.
Both would be nice. You can't have everything.
But, I'd like neither.
But
I'm speaking for the country there.
I think so.
I don't like this Liverpool negativity, guys. Can we not do that? So
you sound like Jurgen. You need to take risks, Tristan.
I'm cracking. The pressure. It's not PlayStation, you know.
That's a different podcast.
You're distracting me from my very eloquent point about Salah at home to Huddersfield in game week 36 as a triple captain option. So, you know, it's a great time to use one after most people would have used theirs. As you say, Tim, the way the doubles have fallen, there's not really... There is an opportunity to use them, but it means at the expense of another chip. Game week 32 is a potential triple captain option, depending on how the fixtures will fall. Man City, if they beat Swansea in the FA Cup quarterfinals, could be handed a double game week of Fulham and Cardiff. So that would be very tempting for a triple captain. There's always a risk with him, a rotation with Jesus, but I feel like we've been saying that for weeks now, and he keeps playing. I know Jesus has been injured, but even on the weekend... He only came on for a cameo. So, Pogba as well. They've got Watford and Wolves, I believe, in game week 32. So that's a very good option. Although he was playing with the amount of injuries that United have. Seems to be playing a bit deeper against Southampton. But one to monitor. So, as you say, a single game week had got the highest score last week. Last season in Fantasy Premier League. So... It's not the worst idea in the world.
Ryan also asks, is Salah worth keeping considering his blank the last few game weeks? Looks off the pace. Would Hazard or Sterling be a possible good replacement for him, Tim?
I think he is worth keeping, but I say that not really to do with his form, but more because of how the fixtures are coming up. He has a game next week in game week 31. It's against Fulham. He's got a game in blank game week 33. You know, he's playing Burnley at home this next coming game week, and he still is the top scoring FPL player, you know, with 198 points, and the top owned player being owned by 46.2% of players. So I think if you remove him, you run the risk of really suffering for when he does eventually start putting his form back up again. As I mentioned, he plays Burnley and Fulham in the next two. He's got Southampton on game week 34 with, I think, Spurs between that. Those three clubs have the worst fourth and sixth worst records defensively. So he's got an excellent opportunity there to sort of turn around this form. And against Everton, I mean, he arguably could have had three. You know, thrown goal twice, nice cut inside and whipping one into Pickford's arms for his third one. So, you know, he's not going to score three every time. He did miss chances last season, but I think on last season's form, he would have scored at least one, and it's only a matter of time before he comes back to that.
It's concerning if he didn't have chances, and he is still getting the chances. So,
yeah, I think that, I mean, he's getting in the positions. It's not like a player completely out of form is peripheral to the game. He's still heavily involved. He still seems to want the ball, and this, you know, he's still an integral part of the attack. It's just a bit stunted. It's lacking fluidity at the moment.
It seems to remind me a bit of at the start of the season when Salah, you know, wasn't banging them in, and people were like, oh, they jumped off him, and then all of a sudden he was racking up points for fun. So this reminds me very much of that situation. I think if you move off him, you'd be going too early.
I feel like this conversation has happened all season, as you said. Like, as soon as he doesn't haul for a few games because of his price tag, people get itchy feet, and they hover over the transfer button. But this is his worst spell of the season, no doubt. But as you say, he's got great fixtures coming up. Mane has been outperforming him lately, but over a long period, that doesn't tend to happen. So I'm personally, I don't think I'm getting rid.
No, I think if you didn't have him and you were thinking about bringing in one of Salah or Mane, you could definitely, you know, go for Mane, given on the form, as you say, Tristan. But if you've got him currently, just because he has a fixture for the next three game weeks in the two blank ones on 31 and 33. There's no point in transferring him out for them.
I think it could be a make or break decision for a lot of FPL managers, is whether or not you keep or hold Salah. We could be looking back at this at the end of the season and thinking that was a pivotal decision, you know, considering how prolific he can be. But if he does continue on this road of, you know, underperforming, you've got a lot of money invested in him and your team, and that's to the detriment of the rest of your squad. So it is a tough decision to make, and people are already getting rid.
Yeah, as you say, though, I really think it's just a matter of time until he does stop hauling. So if you look at last season and this season combined, he's had 21 double-digit point hauls in the 65 appearances he's made. So that's close to one every three games.
Stat of the day.
Considering he's now gone six without a double-digit haul, you'd say he's probably due. And given that spread of data, there's enough there to indicate that it's not like a one-hit wonder. You know, 21 double hauls in 65 games. There's too much data there to say it's a fluke.
Well, further down the league, Ryan also asks what the best Bournemouth assets might be to bring in, as their fixtures look very nice for the upcoming games, Tristan.
Yes, they do. And they, you know, they play Newcastle at home in blank game week 31, and this is kind of why people are looking at their assets. Very popular earlier in the season with the likes of Wilson and Fraser. But it's tough to say at the moment. I mean, in defence, I would just avoid them completely. They're horrendously leaky, especially away from home. At home, not so bad, but still not really keeping clean sheets. I know, Rob, you were quite heavy on Bournemouth last time.
I am anti-Bournemouth, away from home. Now, they've got five of the last nine games away from home, so that, certainly defensively, I'd definitely guard against any of their defenders. I mean, they conceded five to Arsenal, but, you know, even in the build-up prior to that, they've lost the last nine away now and they've conceded a boatload. So I'd definitely avoid that, but they are always good for goals. Totally different ball game at home. You know, they are one of those teams.
Never mind, then.
You know, I would be confident, and he did switch formation, went with five at the back. Which I don't think he'll stick with, and he has flipped between the two. I mean, he's typically done that against the bigger teams, but I think home games and the fixtures are quite nice. I'm quite confident, especially midfielders and forwards.
Okay, well, in the midfield department, we've got Fraser. Now, no goals or assists in his last eight games doesn't make for good reading, especially for owners like myself.
Do you think that's partly to do with the fact that Callum Wilson's hardly played and they have such a good partnership?
Well, they scored and assisted for each other, I think, more than any other combination at one point in the season, didn't they? They were very good, and it seems to have had a knock-on effect to Fraser, as you say. We've got Brooks come back now. I think he was rushed back a bit against City, but he was another good option. Now, if you look at their points per 90 minutes, then Brooks is 5.21 to Fraser's 4.84, so perhaps cheaper Brooks is a better option in that department.
Yeah, just at 5 billion, definitely can come in as a budget enabler.
Yeah.
A very good budget enabler.
And he's Welsh, so that's always a plus. And in the forward department, now, King's been doing quite well. I know that Colin Hayes has written about him in our latest differentials article on thestatzone.com as a differential punt this week. But even for 31 as well, he's looking good. But then we do have Callum Wilson on the verge of coming back. Now, it remains to be seen what kind of how we'll reintegrate him into the side. I've actually held on to him for like a record amount of game weeks now, just rotting on my bench. So I'm determined to keep him in with the recent news that he's back in training, and I'm confident he'll play some part in game week 30 and definitely in game week 31.
Yeah, well, when he came back last time, he scored, you know, against West Ham, you know, back from his little knock, we'll say, before then being out for the last six game weeks. So I think you can be confident to hopeful that he will hit the ground running again.
This was sort of minor knee surgery, wasn't it, I think? So I don't think it's going to be too detrimental to him getting back up to speed, but we'll see. But those would be the main options as they avoid defence. I've seen some people bring Adam Smith in, and I think they need their edge check, to be honest.
Well, we'll bring it on to captain choices. Normally at this point we talk about Aguero or Salah or Son, but we thought this week maybe we talk about Liverpool assets and hand that over to our main Liverpool spokesman, Rob.
I will be impartial here, okay? If I'm looking at Liverpool, I'm looking at potential captains for them. I mean, obviously Salah's the obvious one, but actually right now I'm probably more inclined to be looking at some of their defenders as captain options. At home to Burnley, it's a favourable fixture, and they've kept a clean sheet in their last four Premier League games. So I would be looking at Liverpool defenders potentially this time around. We did actually get a question from Zach Galliford asking, is it best to double up in attack or defence with Liverpool assets with such good fixtures coming up? I mean, you can see with the naked eye right now that, you know, Liverpool are defending far better than they're attacking right now. They do have, you know, all their options in defence. They're good options right now. I mean, I think it's only Mane who's been outscoring in the last month, any of the back five. So, you know, you've got Trent Alexander-Arnold who's come back, he's in form. We know that Gomez is still out for a while. So he looks to have that position nailed down. He's got a goal, six assists this season, including a hat-trick of assists against Watford. Robertson, obviously on the left, you know, he's got eight assists this season. I don't think his form is quite the same as Trent's in recent games. And obviously Van Dijk chips in a couple of goals. He's got three goals and an assist this season. Of all of them, I'm liking Trent. His set pieces are very good. I was at the Merseyside Derby on Sunday, was warming up and practicing his free kicks, and they look superb. And he had one that was on target. He's combining well with Salah. If you look at the relationship on the left-hand side of the team, with Firmino being out, he's been switching the players around a little bit. Robertson hasn't got that integration with Origi, so that's kind of fallen down a little bit, and it's had a little bit of a negative impact on Robertson.
I put Alisson in there as well. I bought him in a few game weeks ago as a, you know, just a, your favourite saying, Tim, a set and forget keeper. And he's, you know, he's bringing in bonus points, he's getting saves, and security of starts as well. Like, I do think that Trent, Robertson and Van Dijk will play the majority of games. We know that Alisson will definitely play every game.
That's true.
You mentioned Robertson there. He does look like he's not quite as prolific down that left side as he has been at other points in the season, but he is. I saw an article on the official FPL site saying that he is on course to beat the highest ever score by a defender in fantasy football.
Right.
I bet you can't guess who that is. Give me three guesses.
Leighton Baines.
That's what I would have thought.
Aspilicueta.
Another good option, but no. Anyone else? John Terry was another guess I would have had because he used to.
Oh, I do know who it is actually, but that's only because I've read the article and remembered now right. Who it is. But so I'll let Rob have the final guess on it.
He's an Everton ex-Everton player.
An ex-Everton player.
Yeah.
Ex-Wolves
and
player
it's not,
as well.
Julian Lescott.
Oh, Julian Lescott, yeah. Wow.
I think it was like the 2007-08 season, he got 196 FPL points.
Playing at left back. You see, if fantasy was around when Steve Bruce played, then he would have had that record.
I don't think Adam was born when Steve Bruce.
Yeah, going back to Robertson, one of my concerns with him is that, you know, he's played the fourth most number of minutes for Liverpool in the Premier League this season. There's not a natural replacement for him. I think he is struggling a little bit fatigue-wise, Trent is definitely going to be playing if he remains fit.
He seemed to really want to prove a point when he came in, and you say he got the hat-trick assist against Watford. He got left out the game before against Man United, I believe, with Milner coming in at right-back, and it was like he was sending a statement to the manager, leave me out again, and
there's a kind of competition that they have going on, Robertson and Trent. They've talked about it, I think, on Match of the Day, for who can get the most assists this season, like a little wager between them, which is brilliant news to hear as an FPL player. But which two out of the three would you go for if you were to double up in defence? If you had a blank slate now, which two would you pick?
I'd have Van Dijk for the rotation that you've just been talking about. He's definitely not going to go out. He'll play every minute of every Premier League game unless he's injured. And then of the other two, I mean, I have Alexander-Arnold in my own team. I don't have Robertson, so I'm gonna stick with that choice. He's cheaper, enables a bit more
I think
money elsewhere.
It's cheaper, yeah, I'm the same. I'd be between Van Dijk and Alisson, I think.
I've got Alisson and Robertson, but I think I'd actually go the other two if it was a complete blank slate. Van Dijk for his bonus points. I mean, he was unbelievable against Everton the other day. I know, Rob, you think Michael Keane was man of the match, but I definitely should have been Van Dijk. But yeah, and with the balls coming in from Robertson and Alexander-Arnold, he's getting on the end of him, scored two against Watford. So I think I'd go those two, and I do think it's a slightly better option at the moment than a Mane and Salah in midfield.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I said this a couple of podcasts ago. I like having title-chasing teams' defenders in at crunch time of the season. I think that, you know, we've seen it with both of them, to be honest, Liverpool and City. They've been grinding results out lately. Yeah. I mean, Liverpool haven't conceded in the last, I think, something like over 400 minutes. So that kind of course, they will concede. They will improve an attack as well. But I would be doubling up on defenders right now.
Our algorithm seems to think that a defensive double up is better. Does it not, Tim?
Yeah, it does. So it's projected this week for Alexander-Arnold to be the top scoring defender with 9 points, and then it's got Andrew Robertson and Van Dijk third and fourth on the list with just over 7.5 points each. Interestingly enough, though, Salah and Mane are both projected to score more than Van Dijk and Robertson, so this here would say double up in the midfield and get Alexander-Arnold as your third Liverpool player.
Right, so forget what I said about the algorithm.
I'd be half tempted to go with one of the wing backs myself this week
to captain.
I
thought about that because I'm just not loving Salah right now.
The projected article that Mark will be penning on thestatzone.com has Alexander-Arnold as his captain.
The robot has spoken.
Well, I suppose it would not be a captain choices discussion without touching upon Aguero at all.
Tim touching upon Aguero.
Yes. Sounds.
Can we rephrase that? That sounds weird.
Sorry, Tim.
Well, I said a lot about Sergio Aguero last week and, you know, the week before that and the week before that and the weeks before that when we weren't doing a podcast. But he's at home to Watford. They conceded 5 to Liverpool last time out. He's not Colm, our lineups writer, mentioned on Twitter that he's...
I like calling him Guru. He likes that.
I'll go with Colm, our lineup guru, mentioned on Twitter that he's in fear of Aguero, as when he's been named in Pep Guardiola's starting 11 for fixtures at the Etihad this season, he's averaging 11.6 points per match. He's registered 10 goals and 2 assists in just 6 appearances against Watford. So I could pretty much leave it there.
But
the perennial question, what about the risk of rotation?
Well, that's why I've left it there.
I'll come on to it in my differential, but I think Jesus will start either against Schalke or this game. I think that Pep will see this Watford game as one which he can rotate, and I think he'll take that opportunity. So, but
he's been saying a lot about resting Aguero, you know, in the media. You can't go on playing Aguero every game, but you know, he said he did the other day when Jesus was on the bench, but I suppose Jesus wasn't quite up to speed at that point. It's always going to be a risk with him, but he's been starting Aguero a lot more this season than I think people would have expected him to.
Yeah, I mean, we'll touch on it, Rob, when we talk about the differentials and your pick, but they've got Watford this weekend, Schalke midweek, and then Swansea in the FA Cup the following weekend. I'd say he's most likely to rest him in that FA Cup match. You know, try and get came through the Watford game, put the pressure on Liverpool now that they've finally gone above them in the table. They've got the 3-2 first leg victory against Schalke, maybe playing for 50 minutes, 55, 60 minutes in that, and they'll look to bring him off and then rest him at the weekend.
Yeah, he's also got a free week when for the international break as well, so he knows he's got some rest coming up.
Our resident captain this week playing Fulham is Jamie Vardy. I'll make this short and sweet. He's playing Fulham.
Is that it?
Yes.
That is it.
The stat is quite interesting with Vardy. As we said in the previous pod, is that he's now scored 5 goals directly following managerial changes, 2 after Ranieri, 1 after Shakespeare, and now 2 in 2 games after Rodgers. The players, I'll touch this later with my differential choice as well, but the players around Vardy will benefit from a Rodgers system. Fulham record away from home, played 15, won 0, drawn 2, lost 13, conceded 37 goals, average of 2.47 per game. Would not be surprised if 2 of those were from Vardy. And he's playing Fulham.
Yeah, I think you could have started and ended about the bit in between. You don't need to. I mean, Fulham are just hopeless, aren't they? So.
Yeah, I think they've improved a bit, you know, against Chelsea with Scott Parker coming in.
I mean, yeah,
hopefully he will make a difference, because it's horrible to see a team getting battered all the time. But I mean,
I would think at Craven Cottage they'd be different, and I liked what I saw at Chelsea, but I don't think that's going to transfer to away just yet. They've not won at all.
They've struggled with the balance all season. I mean, when Ranieri first came in, they went more defensive, and they played a lot better. They did scrape some results, but then the goals dried up. They've struggled all season. The squad's not great. It's imbalanced. I suspect, even though the biggest difference was Parker had them playing with pride and
in their positions,
ultra motivation. Yeah. So let's see.
All right. I'll throw one more in there then, which is Eden Hazard. Always a tough player to captain because he's very frustrating.
Yeah, try to say his name without gritting your teeth.
Eden Hazard.
There you go.
That's a bit more optimistic. But this is not how I feel. It doesn't reflect how I feel about him. But he is the only player in the Premier League with double figures for both goals and assists. So 12 goals, 11 assists this season. Since Higuain came in, I think he's looked a bit better. He's forming a good relationship with him on the pitch. I can't speak for off the pitch, but projected to score 5.67 points by our algorithm this week, which is not great numbers for a captain, but we'll see. You know, he started the season off well, 7 goals, 3 assists in his first 8 games, but just 3 goals and 2 assists in his last 9. Again, he's a player that the FPL managers are bringing in for the blank. He's not really taken off. I think the last double-figure haul was against Huddersfield. So, playing Wolves now. Wolves are a funny team, aren't they? They seem to play to the level of their opponent, although they did rest quite heavily for, like, seemed like the first time this season against Cardiff. And I think they do seem to be prioritising the FA Cup. So they could be weakened. Didn't seem to make a difference against Cardiff, but that was against Cardiff. So, yeah, I think there are positives and negatives with him. He got an assist against in his last match against Fulham. Europa League, now, Europa League might be Chelsea's best chance of getting into the Champions League next season. Particularly now they're 6 in the Premier League, so you know, there is always a risk that he's going to be rested for that. They've got Dynamo Kiev coming up on Thursday, and he has been brought off early in 3 of the last 4 Premier League games. Doesn't seem to be playing 90 minutes, which is not what you want from your captain.
Yeah, Willian's been playing 90 minutes instead, hasn't he?
Yeah, now, interesting you mentioned that, because another concern I have is that Chelsea seem to be looking better down the right-hand side at the moment, as Piliquet has been in good form, linking up with either Willian or Pedro, not as much going down the left. I know that Sarri keeps changing the left back between Emerson and Alonso, so that's another thing to bear in mind. But yeah, I think it's a tough week for captain, so yeah, I think it's worth a go.
Has he come out and decided whether he's signing a contract yet? You know, he said a couple of months ago he'd made a decision on his future and then told no one what that decision is. Has he?
Yeah, no, he hasn't. I'm pretty sure he won't sign a new contract. All the talk about Gareth Bale and Real Madrid is kind of lining up for all this.
Yeah, I feel with that him being brought off, I mean, it could be for rest also, but I feel Sarri's preparing for life without him. And so Willian's still going to be there, Pedro's going to be there as well. He keeps bringing Hazard off early because he's not going to be there next season.
Interesting point. I mean, the transfer ban mean they wouldn't be able to bring Bale in anyway.
No, I mean more that Hazard going to Real Madrid.
Oh, I see what you mean, right.
Because they won't want to lose him for nothing, essentially, in 18 months' time. It's an interesting point, is that, Tim. My sense is that Sarah's not looking that far ahead and probably shouldn't. But let's see. Listen, Hazard's a class player. He's been a bit kind of streaky this season. This is the kind of game at home that you think he could.
He's capable of double point hauls, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know, on his day.
Yeah, he's joint top for double figure hauls, isn't he, for the season, along with Salah and Sterling. So he's got that in him. He's always got that in him. I think it's always a question of his frame of mind, really, isn't it?
And that's why I'd be questioning more than anything else. Is he mentally checked out of Stamford Bridge, even if he hasn't physically?
Or is he playing for a transfer?
Well, don't say that. We brought him into our site team last week. Questioning our own players, that's not going to be good for morale.
So who would you pick from the ones we discussed for a captain this week? Rob, you first.
From the ones we've discussed, I will go, given the state of my team, I'd probably be taking a chance to try and close a gap on everybody else. I'd probably go Trent Alexander-Arnold, I think.
I would probably go Aguero, I think. I almost went Vardy. Change my mind last minute. I go Aguero. I don't have him in my team, and I'm just fearful that he's going to haul, as I always am when I don't have him. So that would be my pick out of that bunch.
Yeah, I'd go Aguero as well. I've got to continue the love in with him.
Oh, well, I'll say Vardy, just because why not? We can't say him for differential picks this week because he's now, thanks to probably this pod's
love for Jamie Vardy.
Love for Jamie Vardy, obviously.
We've encouraged 1% of people to.
1.7% of people. But we'll get to our differentials league then. So we played two games weeks over since the last time you've listened to the podcast. We played game week 28 and game week 29. So in game week 28, I picked Jamie Vardy, scored 7 points. My first points for a good while. Robbie picked Nathan Redmond, 6 points. Tristan, Miguel Almiron, 3 points. Tim, David Silva, 3 points. I thought I'd won that week, but then we've decided, Tim, haven't we, to involve our algorithm.
We have indeed, much to your annoyance, because it's taken that victory away from you.
And the algorithm picked Henrik Mkhitaryan, which I believe was the top scorer for that game week overall.
Yeah, it was. It did a great job. It got it 16 points, so delighted with that. To be honest, we spend quite a bit of these podcasts talking about, or throwing in the word, our algorithm quite a lot, so it seems a good time to just give it a bit of context to clearly everyone who wants to learn about it. So a brief description. So the algorithm is just a piece of software that we've developed here at the StatsZone.com, and it's used to predict FPL scores for the upcoming game week. And so in order to make this prediction, it includes a variety of factors such as a player's performance throughout the season, their club's performance, the opposition's performance, who they're playing, and the fixture location, so it takes into account whether someone is playing home or away. It works out how likely a player is to keep a clean sheet or score a goal or score an assist, and then given a likelihood of these events happening from that, projects how many points they will score for a given game week. So in addition to producing a differential for us here, so Mkhitaryan, as you say, last week, it's also used by Mark Jobling as his source of information when he pens the projection article that goes out on a Wednesday.
How does Mark use this when he pens the article?
Yeah, so the algorithm is used to generate a projected best 11 for the upcoming game week. That takes into account all of the FPL rules, so you can't have more than 3 players per team and you have a maximum budget of 100 million to go with. With that, it gives him a projected 11 and then he talks about that 11. And then we also give him a top 5 projected list that isn't included in that 11 for each position.
So picking Mkhitaryan with 16 points and 28, I assume the algorithm won game week 29.
You know full well it didn't. It sat there with Dubravka on 0 points.
So in game week 28 it stopped me from winning, but in game week 29 it stopped me from losing, which is
feast or famine for the algorithm.
Yes. So in game week 29, just quickly, the algorithm scored 0 points with Martin Dubravka. I scored 1 point with Steve Meunier, don't ask. Rob, you scored 8 points with Vardy, and Tristan, 8 points with Higuain.
Yes, finally.
And Tim, you won
again.
Lukaku.
So that's what, 4 weeks in a row?
Very impressive considering you're second.
Am I still second?
You are still second.
In fact, how am I possibly still third second?
Behind the algorithm as well.
This is a terrible system we've got where we add the points up. We should do who wins each game week, and I will sit there with three wins.
Just like the real game itself. I won a game week. Well done.
Well, congratulations. Moving on to game week 30. The rules of the game are that we each pick a differential choice. It has to be owned by 5% or less of FPL users. We might as well start with the algorithm. Who's the algorithm picked?
It's gone for Danny Rose. He's projected it to score 7.25 points away to Southampton this week.
Random.
A very random pick, but with it's projecting Tottenham to keep a clean sheet in that, and Danny Rose is generally pretty good at attacking. So 7.25 for him.
So the one thing the robot doesn't take into consideration is that he might not play.
Well, no, but if it had taken that into consideration, it might not have had Mkhitaryan on game week 28. So, you know.
Okay, if anyone wants to beat the machine,
I will go with Gabriel Jesus. I'm taking a big old punt here, and that's hoping that feast or famine we're talking about. If he does play and Aguero doesn't, then, I mean, I am expecting Man City to score a few goals this weekend against Watford, at home to Watford. Even if Aguero starts, I'll be surprised if he's still on the pitch after 65, and I still like Gabriel Jesus' odds of scoring, even coming off the bench.
So you're hoping he's going to hit the ground running following his injury?
I am, yeah.
Well, good luck with that.
Tristan, what about you?
I'm going for Batshuayi. Because... Right, big derby there, Palace versus Brighton. I think they'll be up for it. Palace in good form, looking good, both mainly in attack with Zaha and Batshuayi linking up well. They've only lost one of the last six league games, and Batshuayi himself, two goals and an assist in his five starts since he's or five appearances since he's been on board. So I think he looks good. He looks like a confident player. As per the rules, owned by less than 5%. But I think that's going to rise once the blanks are out of the way and people see that he's well-priced, really, and a good option. So he's my differential for game week 30.
OK, well, I'll stay with the Leicester loving. I've picked Yuri Tielemans, although I heard a commentator say Tielemans the other day. Is that actually how you say his name?
Sounds about right.
Yeah, so I'm going to try
that.
Tielemans. I'm picking him because of Brendan Rodgers, who I'm a big fan of. He's actually a much better manager than people give him credit for.
Tristan just choked on his walk.
I think you're the only Liverpool fan who is a fan still of Brendan Rodgers.
He had a 50% win rate.
And Celtic.
Most teams that he's managed before.
Yeah, I think there's more of his personality than his management skills. I think he made good teams and he made young players play out of their skins. I think Steven Gerrard himself said he's never seen a better man manager ever. Might decide against that now. He's actually a manager himself, but he
helps him show a lot of character. That's what's important.
Yes, I think young players thrive under him. Tielemans is 21 years old, will feature a lot in Rodgers' possessive style of football. He's got two assists.
Possessive.
Well, I mean, if you, yeah, Brendan, maybe. Oh, I won't say that. Brendan, maybe. We don't know what Brendan's like, really.
Possession, maybe.
Yeah, two assists in two game weeks so far. There's one assist for Vardy and one assist for Gray. I'm possibly playing it a bit safe, but you can't pick Vardy, you can't pick Madison. I think he is another young player in Leicester's team. Alongside Harvey Barnes, I did think about who would really benefit Rodgers' arrival.
They're at home to Fulham.
Oh yeah, sorry, and that was the real reason. They're also at home to Fulham.
Yeah, so I have picked a player that we've actually touched upon recently. So David Brooks, costs 5 million, owned by 3.5%, plays for Bournemouth, has the attractive looking fixtures coming up. Huddersfield this week, plays game week 31 as an advantage against Newcastle. I think I referred to him earlier. He is arguably, particularly from the midfield standpoint, the bargain of the season. You know, six goals, four assists already. He got thrown straight back in against Manchester City for 74 minutes, so I'm hopeful. Or expectant that he'll play the full 90 against Huddersfield this week. He's just a good player. He was a bandwagon at the time, and he'll become a bandwagon, or he's a bandwagon earlier in the season, and he'll become another one again. And at 5 million, you can really sort out the rest of your team with him.
Okay, well, we'll get back to the next week and see how we all did. What else have we got coming up this week on the website, Tristan?
Well, we've already touched upon the captain's article that Colm's done, that's already up on the site. We've also got Mark's projections article coming on Wednesday, and then Tim, you're coming in and doing the fixtures article on Thursday and predicted lineups on Friday, which will include all the press conference quotes, team news, injuries, whatnot. And then we'll also have a Team TSZ article which covers what decisions we're making with our site team, which we haven't really talked about in this pod, but is doing extraordinarily well at the moment, I would like to say. Only 2 points behind my own personal team, so a bit confusing for me. I'm looking behind at myself, which is quite weird in the league, but yeah, so that's what we've got coming up on the website.
Well, thanks very much, everyone. We'll leave it there. Thank you very much from Tim.
Thank you.
And Tristan.
See ya.
And Rob.
Cheers, guys.
And we'll see you again next week. Thanks for listening.
Sorry, we need to get, so say my name.
The Stats Zone, FPL Weekly.